Now, for the second split sermon, we'll be hearing from another member in our area here, Mr. Randy McQuinn.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. That last hymn had a really good order to it, and all the words that we were singing. It's already been mentioned what great weather we've been having down here in Florida. It's not even spring yet. Isn't that great? And then the last couple of days was nice and cool, sort of put us back in our place, you know, like, ooh. When's it going to warm up again? Well, I want to talk about something today that we usually do about this time of year, and it goes by the name of spring cleaning. You know, spring cleaning is in a form by itself, something to get and to hopefully keep things in order, which means something had to be in disorder first. Well, some of you know that we're having our house remodeled, and we tend to find that we've collected quite a bit of stuff over the years. So as you're moving it from one room to the next, there's a couple of rooms in our house currently that I wouldn't want to wish anybody try to walk through it, because there's a lot of disorder in those couple of rooms. And it's amazing how you just stop and think, where did all this come from? Where did it come from? And are we really going to keep it after the house is remodeled? You know, that's for me to think about, but my wife to say, yeah, we're keeping it, okay? But a shout-out to those on the webcast. Happy Sabbath to you. Our daughter, hopefully, and grandkids are listening from Illinois today. But I sort of mentioned to them, I may bring them up a little bit during the message, because they really need to come down and see our house, because I used to give the grandkids, you know, some fits about their house or their rooms. You got your room cleaned? No, Grandpa. Can I go see it? Well, not really, because I actually did go see it one time, and I locked them out of their own room. And I yelled to them through the door, I'm just throwing all this stuff out the window. And they literally ran downstairs and started looking out the window to see what was coming out. But I was just kidding, of course. But the title of my split sermon today is Keep It Fresh. Have order in your life. Keep it fresh. Have order in your life. Keeping God's commandments in holy days should never, ever be considered burdensome or old hat. Tiresome. Should never think of God's commandments and holy days that way. It should be fresh with us every day and every year. It is like a new beginning when you look at it in its entirety. If you look at God's calling and God's way of life for us, each day should be a new beginning. Because we can go to God each and every day asking for forgiveness. He grants that. It's a new beginning for us. God calls us. We accept that calling. We count the cost. We proceed through God's steps towards baptism and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. All of these are new beginnings for a person, for us. Each and every one of those steps is a new beginning. And each day when we go to God and we seek forgiveness of our sins, we go to God when we study His Word. We go to God when we meditate. Again, all of these pertain to a newness of life, because we know by following these steps of being true to God's Word what's ahead of us what God is presenting to us. The holy days, as you analyze God's holy days, and they are God's feast days, God's holy days, with Passover, the days of unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Last Great Day, as you study them, each one shows a new beginning of God's plan. God's plan continually, and we don't even know what comes after that, but it's all new. God is loving. God is wanting us to stay the course, to be a part of all of these new beginnings in our life, to have that order in our life. And as was talked about in the first split sermon by Mr. Keeler, you know, there is and continues to be disorder throughout the world, all around us. But that shouldn't stop us from having order in our life. Webster's definition of disorder is a lack of order or some regular arrangement, confusion, a disturbance in physical or mental health or functions, basically saying dysfunction, a confused state. And we don't want to be in a confused state because disorder breeds confusion. A disorderly house or household makes people tense. Who really likes tension and stress in their life? No one does. And too much stuff is very, very distracting. Just as Mr. Keeler mentioned about having to do away with some of those things that he would get on his web because it was just too much, too distracting. Because being in disorder is really just booming out to us and everybody that there's indecision in our life. We cannot allow that to continue or to be part of our life. So words like indecision, disorderly, confusion, tension. Can you relate to some of these words as I'm saying them? Stress. Distractions. All of these resemble the fruits of an evil spirit. Or you could say an evil heart, as was mentioned. As Satan, the devil, is proud of, and he transmits these continually. And I know we have been the recipients of some of those transmissions in our past. But it's something that we're working on to overcome. If you would, turn to James chapter 3 with me. James 3, starting in verse 14. James 3, 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So it pays for us to be diligent, to be working on keeping these areas out of our life. Something for us to work on, because we have to replace that. In order to have order in your life, you have to remove that disorder. And none of those words that I was describing relates anywhere to the fruits of God's Spirit. You would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. Here we read, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." He is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace. And peace is what we need in our life, now and in the future. So, what do we do to get and to keep order in our lives? What do we do? Well, first, focus on the why. Why we need to keep it fresh. You have to remember and to know that you can't hit a non-target. You have to establish having order in your life as a target, a goal, something to shoot for. You know, it's very easy just to wander, to get lost on a journey with no destination in mind. You just jump in the vehicle and take off, not knowing where you're going, how you're getting there, when you might get there, if you have enough money for the trip. You know, it's very easy to wander around, but would you want to do something like that? No, you would not. You would want a planned out journey, an order to your plan. You know, because ours is a spiritual journey. That's why we're sitting here today. We're on that spiritual journey. So think first about what you want. Where are you going? And what you want to accomplish on this spiritual journey. God's laid it out for us. Do we follow instructions very well? The instructions are there, and they're from God. You know, remember, becoming orderly is removing the indecision, the disorder, the confusion, the tension, the stress, all of those words. You've had to remove that. God wants you to remove that. God wants you to know and to focus on that why. You would turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 34. 1 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 3. And this is young for the young people here, because as we're fixing to read about, and get the page open, is Josiah. It says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Wasn't even a teenager yet, and he began to reign when he was 8 years old. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. Quite a feat for a young person. But I'm thinking of my grandkids right now, which one of them's around 8 years old, and how would they be at reigning at that young age? And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. In verse 3, "For in the 8th year of his reign," so now being 16, "while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. But at the age of 20, he started cleaning, decluttering, taking out the confusion in his nation." You know, how are we about taking out the indecision and the clutter but just in our house. Not a whole nation, not a whole country, but just in our house, in our lives. Sometimes it feels like a major undertaking, and it is when you look at the overall goal that we're trying to accomplish here, of making it to the kingdom, making it in the kingdom. Because it's just not a house that we're cleaning. It's our temple, our body, our own person, because we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read about that. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Knowing you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. For we are holy in God's sight, in God's eyes. We are to be keeping ourselves pure and daily seek God's love and forgiveness. Again, that why. Why to keep it fresh? Why to have that order in your life? Well, secondly, if you've established why, secondly is just do it. Do what it takes to enforce it, to live it. You know, most people's problem today is dealing with things. I don't want to deal with it right now. I'll worry about it later, mañana, or maybe next week. Next month. See where I'm going with this? I really don't want to deal with it right now. But we have to. We have to deal with it. We have to do it. Make it a very part of our being. Because if we keep postponing, if we just keep delaying, that is working against us and having order in our life. We're setting a bad precedent by continuing to delay God's will in our life, what God wants us to be accomplishing. We have to stop delaying. We have to start doing. Just do it. Because when you think about it, just how much time do we lose by delaying what we're missing out on in our life, in our families and our friends, you know, dealing with that mental and emotional baggage, the irritation and the depression. How much time that Satan, by his dealings, want us not to pursue or think about godly ways, to be doing what God wants us to do. You know, better yet, how much time can be saved after we have conquered being in order, having order in our life? And basically taking those disorderly traits and defeating them, casting them from us. And with God's help, we can. We can be very successful with that. But then others say, well, you know, I'd really like to do it, but when? I'm really busy, you know, my schedule, time. I just don't have enough time. Well, yes, you do. You have just as much time as each and every person sitting in this room. You know, God created the time. We have the same 24 hours in a day. As each and every one of us, 24 hours. Unless someone here has 25 hours I'm not aware of, you know. But as far as I know, 24 hours, of course, with tomorrow or tonight, you're going to lose one of those hours. You're going to fast forward, spring forward. But still, it's the same 24 hours. If you would, I think I actually said First Chronicles 34, didn't I? It was really Second Chronicles 34. So I even increased the size of my font, and I still can't get them right. Oh, boy. So let's go to Second Chronicles 34. See, I should have known that when I was looking at Dusty down here, and he had that confused look on his face. So that was my mistake there. Sorry about that. Second Chronicles 34. See, I was reading from the right verses, but just told everybody out there and the wrong one. Second Chronicles 34, verse 4 through 7. Here we're back with Josiah. What did he do with his time? Because he was doing what was right before the Lord. He was accomplishing things in his nation. Just as we should be accomplishing things in our life today. And we use him as an example. Because in chapter 4 it talks about all that he was doing, breaking down the altars, the images, busting them, turning them into dust. I'm not reading it verbatim here, I'm just sort of scanning through it. But all the molten images and the carved images, he was cleaning it up, getting rid of all that stress and indecision and false idols, the ungodly things in his nation. In verse 5, he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and he cleansed Judah, and he cleansed Jerusalem. And he did it in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim, Simeon, Naphtali. And when he had broken them all down, the altars and the groves, and beaten the graven images into powder, throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. That took some time. That took a lot of effort. But he was king, and he was learning to do right for his nation, for his people, just as God is presenting to us for us to do right, for our families, for ourselves, to put that order and to have that order in our life, to keep it fresh. I mean, just the word fresh, it's like a clear spring breeze. And God's commandments and God's laws and God's way of life should be fresh and loving in our eyes. But after you found out or known how or why, and you just do it, third would be to be consistent. You're doing it. Now be consistent at doing it. To persevere and to redeem your time back. To be productive in everything God wants us to be productive in. By staying vigilant and current with our daily prayers, our daily study time, and meditating. This is how we're building those orderly habits in our life. And you will have redeemed that time. Because the days keep going by. Time stops for no one. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. And we're seeing that out in the world every day. The false news that was brought up. The evil that we're seeing publicized on the internet, in your neighborhoods, wherever it may be. The days are evil. But we have to redeem the time. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. But we have to know the why. Why were we called? God did the calling for each of us. But he gave us a game plan that we're to be doing and following, running with that game plan. And we're to be consistent. You know, Passover is coming, the days of unleavened bread. Have we been consistent? Have we persevered this last year? Are there still areas in our life that we have to overcome to continue to fight and to grow? You know, we will feel better when it's all done and we've maintained that healthy relationship with God, our Father, and Jesus Christ. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 15, again, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. No, we're not going to do that. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Because we aren't. We are not of our own. For you are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And with the Passover service coming, where we renew that, the bread and the wine, with the foot washing, we know that we are not our own. We belong to our Father. We have His Spirit. He has given us that wonderful gift. We need to utilize it correctly, like keeping and placing an order in our life. Now, there's mental order or mental disorder in the world, in various groupings. One of those groupings would be considered gossip. You know, in a way, false news can be considered gossip. And how Mr. Keeler mentioned how fast it travels, you know, than truth. Because a person's mouth can resemble a disorderly room. And we don't want that. It could be full of things that aren't needed, and that don't and doesn't do any good to anyone. You know, it's just like a bad virus. I know there are many in here that have, you know, have been sick and have dealt with different viruses and ailments. It's because a bad virus is unseen, but it spreads steadily and quickly. And it doesn't care who it's infected. It'll take anyone down. If you would, turn to James chapter 3. Starting in verse 5 through 8, James 3, 5 through 8. We read, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell, where every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So that is one thing that we don't want as part of our order in life. We need to bridle the tongue. A noise could be considered another distraction, because people are so used to it. Even some are dependent on it, because people have said, well, I really need the noise in order to read or to really concentrate. That may be true in some cases, but noise makes clear, clean thinking almost impossible. I mean, how many times do you remember when you're sitting in your home or wherever and you're reading, you're studying, and there's distraction, there's noise outside, something has just went by, a vehicle, a noisy or boom box or whatever. You come to your senses and you say, well, what did I just really read? You know, the distractions. So these are things we have to learn to live without. And that's to learn to live without disorder and to simplify our life. Keep it fresh. Let's keep our lives in order by remembering to focus on the first part, the why. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to have order in our life? But then just do it. We're capable human beings, children, adults, teenagers. We're all capable. We just have to do it. And in order to do that, we need to continue in God's orderly way meant for our life. It is an orderly way with God. We need to stay consistent. We need to persevere, and we need to redeem our time. Because we know there's coming a time in the future where we all will be helping place order back where it belongs. Because after Christ returns to this earth and establishes his government, the kingdom of God on this earth, all this cleansing will occur throughout the millennium and afterwards. All these new beginnings for those that will be involved with that, of learning the true way of life. We need to pray for that day to come quickly, and God's will be done in our life. Again, let's keep it fresh. Let's have order